Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, wrapping up strong here. We got a tremendous, Shane, SEC mailbag show. Yeah. We got an in-studio interview dropping this weekend. We got Jake Wimberly. That's probably going to drop tomorrow. He's predicted his model, the record for every single SEC team. Jake, we're absolutely loaded. It's freaking May here, and we're wall-to-wall SEC coverage. You know what?
Absolutely. It just keeps going, and I'm looking forward to it because there's all kinds of ups. Like, you got me one day, you know, big dumb Shane, and then you got the computer whiz the next day, and I think you're talking about some awesome interviews coming up. We got some really cool hair and model guys coming in, you know, so I'm pumped up about all the action. Just be sure to have those notifications on, because Mike's got several interviews right now in his pocket, and you don't know when he's going to release them, but when he does, you're wanting to be the ones to listen first. So but other than that, Mike, it's been kind of crazy. It was so busy. I only got 9 holes in today, you know?
Hey, cousin's friend, he's named us the Cracker Barrel crew.
Hey, I dig it. I probably should reach back out to them and see if they won't in on this action. They're probably like, nah, we good, because you're promoting them every damn day.
And then shout out Free Durden. He's been a member for 5 months, Shane. Thank you for sticking with the family, Free Durden. You know what?
Hell yeah. We were just talking about them dogs. Rusty Manziel, one of them interviews that we talked about. Fantastic. He gets you pumped up about the Georgia Bulldog. Every time he walks in, you just immediately say, you know what? Maybe they're going back to Natty. I don't know.
All right, Shade. Anything else before we kick off this mailbag? Again, we got some great questions here.
No, I'm looking forward to it. This is my favorite shows, because you just don't know where they're going to go. You know,
right.
Probably end up food at some point, but you just never know where they're going to go.
Oh, there's always food. Trust us. So, and maybe, maybe the cousins can ask us some questions too in the comments if there's time. So, let's start off the bat here, Shane. Official cousins, members of the channel, they always get their questions answered when I drop it on YouTube. As long as I don't care what the question is, we'll answer it. And this one, cousin Sven, the Cracker Barrel crew, he named us official cousin. How about this? I think this one's directed right at you, buddy. Do you really believe that Jackson Arnold and Hugh Freeze can work together? One can't complete a pass to save his life, and the other can only win a big game when he can cheat. That's cousin Sven's words, not mine. But what in the world, Shane? Over under 7.5 on them Auburn Tigers. Hugh Freeze is getting worse every year. Sorry for laughing, Auburn fans. But do you really believe it, Shane, that Jackson Arnold, Hugh Freeze's combo can work this season?
Yes, I do. Now, honestly, if we're giving percentages, it's not, I mean, we're not near 100%. I would say we're hovering at the 62% mark, you know, slightly above, you know, 50-50. But there's just, I don't know. We do this, Mike. We do. I can't sit here and tell you I don't get too optimistic in the offseason. You know that, Mike. I get pumped up. We get somebody on here, we talk Auburn football. Next thing you know, I'm like crowning the bastards. But that's where I'm at right now. Is I've seen really great games from Jackson. I've seen really great seasons from Hugh Freeze. And in my mind, I'm like, what if the perfect storm happens? If that comes together at the right spot, this could be a magical season for those Auburn Tigers. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Most likely I'm wrong, but I do think that it's, and you'd be lying to yourself if you said it wasn't in the cards for this to hit.
Yeah. And hey, shout out to cousin Tyler, member for 2 months, Shane.
Hell yeah, cuz.
Mike, do you have a fancy decanter, or is it Shane Bijou enough?
Bougie.
Okay.
Jeez, Louis. He tell who don't have kids.
No, I got mine right here. We from the same great Oklahoma fan right here. Sent me this one. And it from cousin Jared over at Laser Customs. You need a, I mean, it doesn't get much sweeter than this, does it?
No, no, that is almost too, too, I mean, it's almost, it's probably the nicest thing in my house. You should know?
Am I too bougie to take a swig out of it, you think?
No, Shane? No, no, go ahead. No, as soon as I got mine, I called the insurance company and said, do I need to put a policy on this thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. All right, wait, Shane, sorry for getting off track here. Who makes fun of, is there anybody that makes fun of Hugh Freeze more in Auburn? Not Auburn, but Hugh Freeze than me?
I can't think of anyone.
Okay, well, I'm about to defend him, Shane. I'm about to defend, well, starting with Jackson Arnold, all right? Okay, all right. We're going back to what Cousin Sven said, right?
Yeah.
Jackson Arnold can't complete a pass to save his life. Wait a second here, buddy. Wait a second. 12 passing touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. Does that sound like a guy that can't, you know, complete a pass? 62.6% of his passes, Shane. You know who that was better than?
Who?
Talen Green last year. And it was the same. I know Brady Cook didn't really have a great year, but it's the same as Brady Cook. Mm-hmm. And then how about this? I want to, again, was Jackson Arnold great? Certainly not. And I think Oklahoma's better off with John Mateer. I'm not saying that. But I guess Ole Miss just had 8 draft picks, Shane. 22 of 31, 182 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions for Jackson Arnold. And against South Carolina, one hell of a defense last year, right?
Yeah.
18 of 26, 225 yards and a touchdown. It was Michael Hawk. You know, everybody remembers the implosion against old South Carolina.
Yeah.
That was Michael Hawkins in there. So, and to say Hugh can't win a big game to save his life, I don't know how big of a game A&M truly was last year, but they beat their ass. And it, maybe not beat their ass, but they beat them. And they jumped out to 21-0 lead and won it in overtime. So, I don't know. They can win big games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have much confidence in it.
Oh, Mike. I'll tell you what. I don't know if you believe in signs, but what was the percentage I gave you? That I said 62%, didn't I?
Did
and
you?
What was Jackson's?
Oh, 62.
Just saying. I'm just saying if you're paying attention, kids.
I'll give it a 15%, mostly because of Hugh Freeze.
Right, damn. Well, Hugh's never coming on, is he? Maybe one of my solo pods, you know?
Cousin Jet says, Cousin Shane is my spirit animal. And he's been a cousin for 6 months, Shane.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Cousin Jet.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Next question, Shane. This is a good one here.
Yeah.
Cousin Jesse.
I've never been called Jet in my life. You know, some people get that nickname. Never got it. Never got it. I've got told to move to the other side of a plane before, you know.
All right, Shane, how about this one from another outstanding cousin? Cousin Jesse, he's a wild man. He's in the comments. He's a big Gamecock, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a big if. I'm going to throw up South Carolina's schedule here. But he says, if Shane Beamer wins 9 games this year,
mm-hmm.
which, again, not a given. The over-under is 7.5. But if Beamer wins 9 or more, he says, or more, he will have a meaningful, better record through his first 5 years than the Hall of Famer, Coach Steve Spurrier,
yeah.
did in his first 5 years. Nobody thought Spurrier could win at USC. Is college football sleeping on what Beamer's doing here in Columbia? What's your thoughts on that, Shane?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There's a lot of big names that's come through there. You know, I mean, we talk about Muschamp was a big name, was a big hire. Spurrier was the ultimate hire. Lou Holt, you know, was a big hire. South Carolina has had some dudes that's come through there. But when we get to the end of this thing, I think with the resources and the style that we're having to play here the last 4 or 5 years, I think it's impressive what Coach Beamer has put together. It's not like he had an infamous budget where he could just go out here and hire any coordinator. I mean, there's been a lot of guys, a lot of coordinators that came through there. We had no idea. And then they lead on to get head coaching jobs or, you know, other big jobs in other conferences. It's just, yeah, I think it's very impressive what Shane Beamer has done. And he's not done. You know, this is a coach. We look at some of these guys that's, you know, had these long tenures, long runs. There's a shot Coach Beamer is one of those guys. And if the stars align, and it could be this year, who knows? Shane Beamer may be there. I mean, he may have a statue out front for long.
Yeah, and to Cousin Jesse's point, so this was Steve Spurrier after five seasons at South Carolina.
Yeah.
35-28. So average 7 wins a season. Beamer, if they win 9 games this year, 38-31. So several games better than Spurrier. And hell, maybe they win 10 or 11. Who knows how many they actually win. And he can add to that total. But, huge but here, Shane. Because it's fair. It's fair to say, well, look what Steve Spurrier did first five. Look at Shane Beamer. Right now, after the first four, Beamer's already beat him in overall record.
Yeah.
But here's what Steve Spurrier did the next 4 seasons, Shane. 42-11. 42-11. To me, the real question is, can Beamer match 42-11 the next 4 seasons? Every nice thing you just said about Beamer, I agree with. I don't think he's going 42-3 in 4 years.
It's going to take, like I said, it's going to take some magic, really. It's just South Carolina has to be the hip place, you know? It has to be the fun place. It has to be a spot where they make playoff runs, I think 2 years in a row, something like that, just to kind of get that momentum going. And unfortunately, I don't see that happening. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think at the end of the day, as much as I like to pump up Shane Beamer, because I don't think enough Shanes get enough respect out there, I think still being where he's at, there's a lot of schools that have gone through a lot of coaches that would absolutely love to have Coach Beamer. And don't think Coach Beamer hasn't received a few calls in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? He's proven himself to be a good coach, not just Frank Beamer's son, you know?
Right. And for him to have those kind of 42-11 record, he's going to need Sellers, I think, to stay for 2 more years, mm-hmm. be one of the best in the SEC, if not the country. And they're going to need to hit on another quarterback, I would think, after Sellers.
Yeah.
That's the path to do. And that's just a starting. I mean, Sellers could be the best player in the country. They still probably are not going to win 11 games, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Buddy. Tyler, he just gave us $5, Shane. What do you think happens first? Georgia fires Kirby or Mississippi State wins a natty? I assume we're talking football here, right? So I think Kirby gets fired before Mississippi State wins a natty.
I think it's Kirby. And that's crazy. Because I think he's got like the best job security out there right now. But that just shows you how much confidence we don't have in Mississippi State. I mean,
what did he do off the field to get fired would be my question, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Gotten his emails.
All right, how about this one, Shane, from Cousin Brodo Baggins? He's another official cousin, so we're guaranteed to answer his question. Which 3 to 4 teams next season will have the most potential to have the best all-around receiving core in the SEC? So best receiving core in the SEC, 3 or 4 standouts. Where are you going? I've already got something. You want to hear mine first?
No, not really. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. we'll listen to it. I'll agree or disagree with you. Three or four. So I've got three. I got three teams. I'm interested where your fourth one's at.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know you're going to go Auburn because you're so high on them.
Yep, that's one of them.
I put them number 2.
What about LSU?
LSU, I put number 3.
Alabama,
I put number 1.
And shit, what about Georgia?
Georgia's number 4. Shane nailed it. Again, if you've seen my notes, but why Alabama 4, Shane? 4 of the top 5 receivers from last year are back, mm-hmm. including Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, of course. And they added the Miami transfer, Isaiah Horton, who had, I believe, over 600 yards last year. I know everybody's high on Auburn, as they should be, the receivers specifically. But I didn't realize, Shane, they only have 2 of the top 6 receivers from last year back. But it's a hell of a 1-2. They got Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons, Perry Thompson, all back. And then everyone's excited about the Georgia Tech transfer, Eric Singleton. So that should be a hell of a lineup. LSU, only 1 of the top 5 back, but it is the top receiver, Aaron Anderson. They also got Chris Hilton back.
Yep.
Xavion Thomas, who's a great returner. And then Tre'Davious Green, who was a tight end last year, monster. I think they're shifting him to the receiver. And then they added the Kentucky transfer, Berrian Brown, and Oklahoma transfer, Nick Anderson. Mm-hmm. And if we're allowed to include tight ends, which Brodo didn't say we could or couldn't, I'm throwing Georgia in there, Shane, because of course they got Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp.
Yeah.
But at receiver, Dylan Bell, who Rusty was so high on, mm-hmm. they got London Humphreys back. And then they went and got Southern Cal transfer, Zachariah Branch, and Texas A&M transfer, Noah Thomas. So I think those are your top four receiving corps in the SEC right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't feel like they're like compared to like last year. Last year we were sold on one or two classes. Now I think we've got a mixture that, hell, there may be a team that's not on this list that's got the best receivers. I feel like we've got a little more parity in that room, you know? So, but yeah, I'm very, I love the list so far.
And then Brodo's got another question, Shane. I've literally never heard this question, so I had to include it, right?
Yeah.
What would happen in the SEC championship and the playoff? What is it going to look like if every single team wins their home games? No losses at home in the entire conference. What would happen? I think I know exactly what would happen. Do you have any idea? If everybody won their home games, which means everybody lost their away games.
Would you go to strength of schedule or something? I don't know.
There's a little bit of a tiebreaker. It's cheating a little bit.
I don't know. What is it? The football, like, remember the toss they used to have in XFL, you know?
No, Texas and Oklahoma play on a neutral field. Georgia, Florida play on a neutral field. So whoever wins between Texas and Oklahoma, they're in the SEC championship. Whoever wins Florida, Georgia, they're in the SEC championship because they won all their home games, right?
That's good.
Yeah. So that's how I'm deciding it. And, so it'll be one of those. And then if that happened, mm-hmm. what would the playoff look like? I think the SEC would only send one team to the college football playoff, and it'd be the SEC champion.
Yeah.
Because everybody would have four losses.
That's a tough one. I don't know. It'll never happen. Right. But if it did, I think I would go to just the scheduling, you know, because there's a lot of them that I feel like have a tougher road to a playoff. And, you know, you think about some of those teams like Florida or Oklahoma or hell, even Mississippi State, you know, those are the teams that I may put in there just because of who they're playing.
I think Roto was on cornbread when he asked his question. Yeah. Shout out Cousin Tony. He said Bama would get in there somehow.
Oh, damn.
All right. How about this one, Shane? I like this one from Cousin Gage. Cousin Gage Wilson. What if the Alabama dynasty is resurrected under Kalen DeBoer and everybody has to put up with Alabama for another two decades? It's a long shot, but definitely possible and could be trending that way. He says, Shane, come on, this man's going to have a dynasty. Did you see Paul Feinbaum the other day on the golf course? They said there was more people following Nick Saban around. And keep in mind, this is a golf tournament in Alabama. Nobody knew who the hell Kalen DeBoer was down there. I think he's a fish out of water. Again, I'm high on what Alabama could do this year. But to have any faith that this man, as good as he may have been at Washington and Fresno, I don't know how in the hell anyone's saying they're trending towards another dynasty. Do you?
I mean, you're at Alabama. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the standard's a little bit higher there. And, you know, Saban obviously was very, very successful, but he wasn't the only very successful coach to come through there. So I do think that Alabama at, you know, 100 years from now, we're going to look back, it's going to be one of those top four teams in this conference. So do they do that all in 5 years, 7 years with the board, or they do it over a span of, you know, every 3 years they hit a good team? I think that's more likely. The dynasties, I hate when we throw that word around. There's no more dynasties. I mean, I have Alabama was the last dynasty, I felt like. And even then, you know, it wasn't like the Oklahoma run. It wasn't like the Nebraska run. It was, you know, there's been some runs in the past, but I think DeBoer is going to have success. And unfortunately, if he doesn't soon, like within the next 2 to 3 years, 2.5 years, I feel like they're going to try to find somebody that can, because again, what Saban has created, the standard down there, you know, playoffs or bust. That's exactly what they're doing every year.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think he's closer to getting fired than turning him into a damn dynasty. All right. How about what a name here, Shane? Cousin Steve O'Rolo. Who will be the biggest disappointment in the SEC this year? And why is it Texas? all right, we can ignore that second part. But who do you think is the biggest disappointment in the SEC this year?
I think it's going to be the Ole Miss Rebels. I've been on record, you know, many times. And I'm probably wrong, you know. But I think when you look at I always talk about how, you know, consistent Lane Kiffin is there at Ole Miss. I mean, look at this. I mean, there's a lot of blue here. And you just think that that's always going to last. He's always a coach that gets brought up in coaching searches. And you know, there's so much money for some reason. I mean, they're going to have to do some investigating here with this NIL. But, I mean, I didn't know Ole Miss was that damn rich. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, I just think that this is going to be a year that they kind of take a step back. And, you know, because again, people think Ole Miss as a playoff contender now, even though they've not been in it. We've talked about it for a couple of years. I don't think they sniff it this season.
Yeah. How about this, Shane? My biggest disappointment?
Yeah.
MIC! Come on down, brother. I don't know, man. I think they're in for a tough year. Even though the schedule was quite favorable. Again, I'm factoring this in. I'm factoring in expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, these fans, Shane, God bless them. They're high, as they should be. You just won 21 games in 2 years. That's one of the best in the conference. But to me, like 8-4 with this schedule is a disappointment. Uh-huh. So that's how I'm looking at it. I'm not saying, oh God, they're going to go 4-8. You know what I'm saying? Man, if we go from 11 to 10 to 8,
uh-huh,
especially with this schedule, I think that's a massive disappointment. I think anything short of 9 is probably a disappointment. And that's where Missouri should be with this schedule, with the talent they have.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling they don't get there.
I think you're right. And one of the thing about this is that schedule is going to be used against you in the court of law, you know, because here we sit back and it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. If Mizzou has a great year, let's say they win 9 games, we say, well, it's because of schedule. You know, if they lose 6 games, we're going to say with that schedule, you know? So it's like, you can't win for losing here. And that's kind of tough. It's like Florida and getting all this hot coming into the season, but the more and more you put behind them, then if you miss, then all of a sudden we're saying, golly, you were a top 10 team. What the hell happened?
Right. And then two others I got on here, Shane, could be disappointments. And again, it's more about the expectation, because I've been singing these praises, Shane, but we have reached a point where like everybody's singing it. And I'm sitting here saying, ooh, everybody but you. Florida. Florida could, I mean, again, I'm not saying it's going to be a disappointment.
Yeah.
But the path is there for this thing to crater. Mm-hmm. Again, I think it will be really good. And then basically the same deal, Shane, with Oklahoma. Uh-oh. To where we just don't know what in the hell Michigan is, you know. Mm-hmm. They should beat Michigan. If they lose to Michigan, it's going to be a rough year. I think, hell, you just sung Auburn's praises. I think Oklahoma in Norman is way better than Auburn.
Uh-huh.
Well, could you lose that one too? I mean, certainly. And maybe not even losing both of those, but you lose one of those, bad vibes. But really, if you lose two of them, we're sitting here with Brent Venables, who's won 6 games 2 out of 3 years. and we're saying, what in the hell are we doing? We're getting into the damn gauntlet.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here 2-2. Now they'll be 3-2 with a layup at Kent, with Kent State coming to town, but there's not going to be another game as easy as Michigan or Auburn the rest of the way, I don't think.
No. And I we're talking disappointments here. I'm going to put Kentucky on there. It's not like the standard that high, but damn, I feel like we're going to be disappointed about Kentucky because this is a team that should not be missing bowl games. And
yeah,
I mean, hell, Vegas says they'll even spot you a game and you ain't getting in. So that's kind of where I'm at. So yeah, it's just disappointing coming into the season, and maybe they proved me wrong, but I don't know. I think they better just prepare.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm prepared, Shane.
Oh, thank you, cuz.
For JR, he's back again. Shout out the king of donations.
Hell yeah. Who's legend, in the family?
Cousin JR has done it again.
This time, JR has blessed Shane. Let's see. DJSTTD7. You have been blessed by JR. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Thank you, JR.
Thank you, JR. A lot of people are asking me, how do you become a cousin? It's real easy. If you look in the show notes while you're there, hit the thumbs up. You can see there's a link that you can click on, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do to make your, what they call it, emojis better and whatnot. So it's $5. You know, I mean, I spend $5 a day. You know, well, I spend more than that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't get anything for $5 anymore, but by God, you can be a cousin and help the show out. So appreciate everybody doing that. And JR, I appreciate the donation, cuz.
Yes, thank you so much, JR. How about DJ Ray, Shane? You just gave us $5.
Thank you.
Yes, appreciate you, DJ. Cousins, hope y'all are good. If y'all would add 2 Power 5 teams to the SEC, who y'all pick? Please bring Tulane back.
And Georgia Tech.
No, give me Swatty. I'm more of a historian. But man, if we could add anybody, who would, and again, let's not do, you know,
let's
there's
not the usual. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not do who the reports are saying, maybe this, maybe that. But who do you, if Cousin Shane, there, you can add anybody you want. Who's it going to be?
Oh, man. I'll let you go first here. Let me think about this one because it's me. It's personal, you know? I like, right. Which one do I want? Okay, here's one. It's not in the Southeastern Conference, okay?
Ooh.
And this is going to probably piss a few people off because they absolutely hate this team. But what's one team I hate talking about every single year around the college football playoffs? It seems like it comes up every single year.
Clemson, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame okay. is one of them. No. Let's bring the Fighting Irish down south, and let's have them. This is a team that, I mean, it's going to get a lot of views. It's going to help. It's going to help the SEC, I would imagine. But more importantly, it's going to weed those bastards out, so we don't have to hear them at the end of the season getting another spot in the playoffs that an SEC team should be in.
Yeah. Okay.
That's one.
I see. Can I do one?
Yes. Yeah.
How about, I like the school, the fit of the fans and the stadium. How about Virginia Tech?
I tell you, I saw a video. Metallica was doing a concert there.
Yeah.
The place was rocking, man. Absolutely rocking. And let's just call it like it is. I don't want a half stadium like USC. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want to pick a university that has nothing else but college football. And what better state than Virginia? You know what I'm saying? There's not a lot besides Interstate 81 in Virginia, you know? So I think Virginia Tech, that would be a good one. I could definitely dig that. One of my favorite games was the Battle of Bristol. You know, it wasn't fun to watch, but damn, it was fun before. It was fun after. I just sobered up from it. I would absolutely love to see more of those top games. Maybe not neutral sites, but you know what I'm saying? It was just a fun and it was just a fun group down there. So, and it helped you win, you know.
Right. So who would be your second?
So I can't steal that one.
Well, you could if you want.
Well, I mean, I'd probably pick another Florida team. Just because I feel like we need another one down there. And, so I'd have to take your beloved Florida State Seminoles. Mike,
wouldn't it be funny if they added Central Florida or South Florida, but not Florida State? Give me Central Florida. Come on.
I think Florida State sells out. I, you know, say what you want. I love the chance. I love the tradition that they bring to it. Miami's another school down there, but it just doesn't fit the SEC vibe. No. I feel like Florida State would, though. So,
and you're talking half filled stadiums.
Yeah, I
think of Miami when I hear that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a small stadium too. So yeah, give me FSU and Notre Dame.
Yep. All right. How about, Cousin Dot, Shane?
Yeah.
What if we just had a Bama fan, I assume, ask about Alabama's dynasty for next 20 years. Coast Dot, it says, what if Nick Saban never went to Alabama?
It almost happened.
I know. Yeah.
He would have went back to LSU. And he would have kicked ass, you know? I mean, he's been on record talking about one of the biggest mistakes he made was going to the NFL. And I think if he would have failed and didn't have that opportunity, I think he would have went back to LSU. And he would have built a dynasty there.
I think you're right, Shane. Hey, shout out Tracy, member for 2 months. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy.
Central Florida, remember, they were national champs a few years back. Ah! Go Vols, he says.
Still got the ring, you know.
All right, how about this one, Shane? We got one from Boss. Oh, you're going to like this one. This is if Shane was writing into the show, he'd write something like this, I think. Mike, I've been working in a small town south of Chicago for a few months now, and within a 300-foot radius, I have seen 4 different people with only one arm. I would like to know how to relate that to Mizzou winning the national championship, Shane. How's it going to happen? I just thought that was off-the-wall question. It was perfect.
Well, I'm trying to think of one day I've seen more than one person without an arm, you know? So would you consider 4 a miracle? You know, I mean, and would you consider Mizzou winning a miracle? I don't know. I'm just saying, unless there was, I'm trying to think of 2 people now. You just don't see it often, you know, or maybe I'm not as observant as I used to. Now I take my kid somewhere when she was younger and, you know, and you're like, don't stare. And of course they're just looking at it. I'm like, honey, he got one arm. Stop looking at it. You know, what's wrong with him, Dad? Nothing's wrong with him. He just had an accident.
Yep. All right. How about this one, Shane, from Sooner Blood? What a name. Have you ever, and this one I'm going to leave up to you, Shane, because I know you've been fooling with this stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing a segment of having Gronk turn you guys into children? That might be the best segment of all time.
Well, it's funny. Flying Hawaiian, when he first saw Theo Vaughn video with the babies, he's like, how do you do this? I need to do this. And I was like, I have no idea. And then I kept seeing more and more. And so it's out there. The technology's out there. I think there was a website you could do it. But they'd be some pretty cute babies, Mike. You know, it would be hard. I've already got like the fat face, you know, and a bald head. Yours may be a little tougher with all that hair.
All right. How about this one, Shade, from OT Pedro? What a name.
Love it.
What if the SEC didn't exist, Shane? What conference would these teams be in, and which would go independent like Notre Dame?
Yeah. If the SEC didn't exist?
Yeah, so maybe like the team still exists, but the conference doesn't, so they got to join a different conference. But I'm thinking here, Shane, teams that would be independent, I think Texas, because they're all, I know they just came from the Big 12, but
yeah.
You know how they are, you know, everything's bigger, badder. We're Texas. We can buy. That's how Notre Dame kind of is. I could see that being an independent. If they weren't in the SEC, though, where would they be? Would they be in the Sun Belt? Would we mix them around the big other conferences? I think ACC?
I think the ACC would be an obvious choice there. But if there was no SEC, most likely it would just be a bunch of independents. Or it would be, I would imagine, like quadrants. There'd be the North, the South, the East, the West, or something like that. You know, there would just, I don't think there'd be any of these. I don't think there'd be an ACC. I don't think there'd be, you know, I mean, even the Big Ten, I don't think so. I think it would just be a whole bunch of independents that, you know, created a system to play each other more often, you know, mm-hmm. based on geography.
Yeah. So kind of like SEC.
Yeah. Like we'd make us like a Southern Eastern Conference, you know, and would have like one for the mountains, you know, out west. And
hey, how about this one, Shane, from Chad Razorback?
Yeah.
Which coach or coaches are more likely to get fired before the season is over than they are to get another year?
Wait, is this who asked this question?
Chad Razorback.
You thinking what I'm thinking? He wants to know how long Sam's going to be sticking around, you know, because they didn't give Chad that much time is what he's saying. This may be his burner here. Yeah. I think you nailed this one.
Yeah. How about our guy Stoops? I think he might fit into that category.
Well, it's just, it's
massive buyout.
Yeah. It's the money, you know, same thing with Venables. Mm-hmm. If he fails, I'm not quite sure they would pay him off, you know? So
right. I would not throw Venables into the more likely fired than back. You know, because that's the tricky part of the question. Who's more likely to get fired in the season than they are to not be back next year?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think Venables is much more likely to be back because I think Oklahoma will be much improved.
It's sad, but I really think there's possibly two answers here, Mike. I believe that Sam is that one, and I think the other one is Lebby. Again, if you can't go 2 years without winning an SEC, you can't. That's unacceptable. We didn't let, you know, Arnett do it.
Right.
You know, so why would we let Lebby off the hook? So you can't constantly keep rebuilding, but look at that, Mike. I mean, we're talking two wins last year. If they have two wins this year, there's no way in hell they would bring him back. So I it's not fair. I get it. You want to give them time, but I feel like Sam and Lebby are the two answers here.
Okay. Hey, shout out. I don't see a question, but JD gave us $10. So let me see if I can find any question he asked. But
well, thank you for the donation, cuz. Cool yeah. hair. I like it. is that a profile pic?
I think it's a picture of you, Shade.
Oh, is it?
No.
No, that's an after photo. Like if I stuck with it, if I never ate Twinkies, that's where I'd be right now. I've done that. I used to ask myself, like, what if I never had sugar? I'm curious what I'd look like right now, you know? I'd look mm-hmm. like that right there. Good looking fella.
Hey, cousin's friend, you know, he's defending his dogs here.
Yeah.
What would Tennessee's record be if they played this Mississippi State schedule?
I don't know, like 9-3. Hey, you know, 10-2. Here's the deal. People forget how they forget how good Mississippi State was, and it's not fair, but this is a football team that historically has, you know, in our lifetime has been hovering around that 7, 8, 9 win seasons. And that's kind of what we just expected of them. Now, they never won national championships. They did get first place once, you know, they were in first. I remember that, but they're not, they shouldn't be a team that never makes a bowl game. You know, this is a football team that when I think blue collar, that's who I think of State. I think some of the, maybe not the greatest quarterbacks, but damn the toughest quarterbacks to come through there. And it feels like they always had a tough defense, tough fans. And yeah, I don't want the standards to be lowered because we've had more than two unsuccessful seasons. So yeah, and I give them a hard time, but it's just, they deserve better.
I remember they were in the SEC West. It was literally the toughest division in the country year after year after year. And they could play with all those teams.
Yeah.
The only one they never beat was Nick Saban at Alabama. And that's about half the conference couldn't beat that guy.
Right.
But even they challenged them from time to time. It was just everybody else they could play with. They could beat Auburn. They could beat, they have a winning record over A&M.
Yeah.
They could play with, obviously, Ole Miss. They could play with any of those teams. But right now, you know, they always said, Shane, they always said they were disrespected. They're not the Vanderbilt of the West.
Right.
But literally right now, Vanderbilt's better than them.
It feels like Vanderbilt's doing something. How many times, you ever seen that meme where it's got that guy with the stick and he's like, do something?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's doing something. You know, they're building, they're growing, they're spending money. And I'm not saying Mississippi State isn't, but when you get half your roster poached and you got this Disney money coming in, it's just, I do question some of the decision makings that are going up there, because it feels like no team in this conference should be hovering at two wins for a season. You're fired. Two wins in the SEC, you're gone, especially if none of them were an SEC opponent.
Mm-hmm. All right, final one, Shane. Cousin Trey, you always ask the best questions.
Yes.
Which game on each SEC team is the most pivotal to hit the over? Does that make sense?
Say it one more time.
So he's wanting us to identify a game on every schedule that you got to win if you're going to hit the over. You know what I mean? So Alabama, to go, the over-under is 9.5, to go 10 wins. What's a game most, you got to win it to get there?
To go over 10. So I would think, Mike, Tennessee.
Because
I'm looking at Georgia, LSU is probably going to be their games.
Right.
But I think Tennessee.
I'm thinking Iron Bowl on the road.
Maybe.
I think that's the one.
Yeah. Tennessee's got your number a couple times. So that's mine right there.
It's always Tennessee for Shane. All right, how about for Arkansas? So they're over under 5.5 to get to 6. What's that game that'll be pivotal for Arkansas to win to get to 6?
It's Tennessee, right? No, I'm just kidding. let's see, pivotal. I would think it would be.
Oh, I got one
question. I'm probably going to go with their rivalry, Mizzou. At the end of the season, I feel like that's, you know, I hover at the Memphis one because I think you have to, but I'm kind of securing that as a win right now.
Yeah.
But that Mizzou one, I feel like you have to get.
I swear I'm not just picking this team, but I'm saying Auburn again.
Oh.
Because I think if you're beating Auburn.
Yeah.
I think you're beating State. I think you're winning the first two for sure. So that 4, Memphis 5.
Yeah.
I think it's Auburn, but. Missouri, that makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm trying to look because let's just devil's advocate. Let's say the losses are Ole Miss, maybe Notre Dame, maybe Tennessee, A&M, Texas, LSU. So there's 5? So you're sitting there at 7-5. Yeah. I feel like Auburn, Mizzou. I mean, that's kind of where you're at. You're right there in that mix. Yeah. I don't think there's a wrong answer there, Mike.
All right, how about for Auburn? So they're over under 7.5. They got to get to 8.
Yeah.
What's the one they got to get to ensure they go 8-4 at worst?
I'm going to go Baylor, right, week one. Yeah. I told you, this is a team that you've got to win, but if you stumble out of the blocks, then I feel like you may be in trouble. So, yeah, Baylor.
Or Vanderbilt. Diego, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's late in the year. Maybe it's a little banged up by November 8th.
But, yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it's Baylor. How about Florida? The over-under 6.5. What's the one they've got to win to ensure they get to 7?
To get to 7, I would say – Who do you pick?
I think I'm going to go at Miami.
3.
Because we need some momentum. Because at LSU is going to be tough. Texas is going to be tough as hell.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can lose three in a row going to Texas A&M.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I was looking also at the Florida State game, you know.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's one of the Florida teams. So Miami, Florida, I'm right there with you. Can't argue. And it being on the road, that would be even better.
Yep, both the Florida schools we don't want in this conference. All right, Georgia, 9.5. So what's the game they got to win to get to 10?
Ole Miss. Ole Miss, they got you last year. Get them this year. Yeah, I mean, maybe Auburn. I'm going back and forth between that is a pivotal time right there, those two games. Because even if you lose to Texas, not saying you're going to, but if you lost to Texas, you lost to Bama, you could still hit that 10 mark. It's which game's going to give you a fit. I'd love to say it's the Tennessee Vols, but we've seen that matchup too many times.
Yeah.
It may be Auburn, but I'm going to go Ole Miss just because of what happened last year.
Ooh, I think I will go Tennessee, Shane, because it could be Auburn. You're right there. But I'm going to go Tennessee just to be different because I think all those home games, no guarantee you're beating Alabama or Texas.
Yeah.
But I think at worst you split them. Yeah. So if at worst you're splitting those, I think you'll kill State on the road. I think they own Auburn and they own Tennessee, but I think getting that first road win, I think that'll be more pivotal. So I'm sticking with it.
DJ, he asked, is that
the Monopoly Man?
Monopoly Man evil twin. Was that Austin P?
Yes, sir. All right, how about Kentucky? Over under 4.5.
Oh,
what's the game they gotta get to get to 5?
Their rival, Louisville. That's the one I feel because I'm looking at Eastern Michigan. Shit, even Toledo's gonna be tough. Yeah. No, you know what? Pump the brakes, Mike. Give me September 27th after the bye week, South Carolina.
You nailed it. That's right where I was gonna go. It rarely does it seem like the favorite wins in that game. Whoever wins it goes on to have a good year. We certainly think South Carolina will win that game in Columbia, but we were convinced Kentucky was winning it last year in Lexington, and we couldn't have been more wrong. You know what?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, LSU, 8.5 is over under. What's a game for the Tigers got to win to get to 9?
I think October 25th, Texas A&M. Got you last year. Now you got them at home. That's one you must have. I would argue the 30th against, you know, Clemson, your season opener.
Right.
Since we've seen Coach Kelly, but I think I'm going to lean more toward the Aggies here.
Okay. I'm going to go Florida because Clemson is on the road, because Ole Miss is on the road.
Uh-huh.
Buddy, they could legitimately lose those two and still make the playoff.
Uh-huh.
But if you lose Florida at home, well, I think the season's, the walls are closing in. I think you're donezo. So I think that'll be a huge one for them LSU Tigers. I think Florida could be really good by then. How about Mississippi State? Over-unders 3.5. What's the game we need to get to 4?
For Arkansas, November 1st. You got to have an SEC. I don't know about Arizona State right now, but I'm just kind of penciling that as a lot. Maybe put that one in there.
Yeah,
because we've talked about State needs to get 4-0 to have a successful season, but if not, and you're trying to find one during the season, I think it's on the road. But give me Arkansas Razorbacks.
Would it be crazy, Shane, for me to say Southern Miss Week 1 on the road? Because if we're losing to that, we're just the same old. So we're going to go 2-10.
Yeah,
but if we win it, we get some momentum. I think we could beat the hell out of all these teams on the top row here and get to 4 before September 27th.
Yeah, you know how we get mad at coaches. There's like one game at a time, but you know what? State, you should go one game at a time.
All right, how about Mizzou, Shay? What's the pivotal game to get to the over-under 7.5? So to get to 8-4, what's a game they got to get to 8-4?
Right. Must get. Probably that Kansas game. Kansas or South. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kansas just because we're gonna talk about how you should beat them. You know, there's no reason that you shouldn't, but you drop them, then all of a sudden South Carolina looks a little far, you know, out of, I'm kind of like you, kind of that Mississippi State approach. You got to get that early win to kind of squash those negative Nellies out there.
Give me South Carolina. And I got no respect for Kansas. We're going to beat the hell out of them. But if we don't beat South Carolina at home, I don't think we're beating Bama. I don't think we're beating A&M. I don't think we're winning at Oklahoma. And we may not be winning at Auburn. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with South Carolina. Mm-hmm. All right, how about Oklahoma, Shane? Over under 6.5. What's the game the Sooners must win to get to 7-5?
Let's see. Wow, must. There's a lot of must on here. And
it's awful musty.
It's awful musty here because get Oklahoma. Give me. I hate to take the easy one, but Michigan week two.
Yeah,
is, you know, because that's what we've talked about, and this is why we get so high on Oklahoma. Is like there's a shot, man. They start out 3-0 and got a signature win under the belt going into that Arkansas game. That goes right out the window if you drop that one. So yeah, Michigan September 6th.
Yep, you nailed it. All right, Ole Miss over unders 8.5. What's the game the Rebels got to win to get to 9?
Kentucky. I mean, they've got your number. for me, brother, I'm going to go probably LSU. No, I don't want to do LSU. I think that Oklahoma on the road, that's a game that you could lose. That's a game you shouldn't lose if you're an Ole Miss fan. Give me that one, October 25th, the Sooners.
I'm glad you're not taking LSU, so I can take up shade. I think it is LSU. If you can beat them at home, I don't think there's many other places you're going to trip up at Georgia, maybe at Oklahoma. Florida beat you last year, but you get them at home, South Carolina. So, if you guarantee me they're beating LSU, I would guarantee you they're winning 9 games.
Well, yeah. So let's just say 3 losses. The most likely 3 losses on this schedule, in my opinion, is LSU, Georgia, and
at Oklahoma, probably.
Oklahoma, yeah. So maybe you don't even need Oklahoma. So if that's the case, maybe it's the South Carolina at home or the Florida at home.
But last year they tripped up several times when they shouldn't. So I'm just anticipating landmine here. You know what?
Yeah. You're right.
I love when you say that.
I'm trying to defend him, and I just.
All right, how about South Carolina, Shane? Over under 7.5. What's the game the Gamecocks got to get to 8-4?
Ooh, there's a couple here, but I'm going to go September 21st, Mizzou. That's a game that's always close. It's always tied. It is on the road, but South Carolina, I feel like, has to pick up momentum early. I don't think Virginia Tech's going to be a ball game, so give me Mizzou.
Okay, that's a great selection, Shane. I'm going to go Oklahoma, October 18th, because it's in this minefield of at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Bama at home, at Ole Miss, at A&M. Good Lord, we can't be losing all these games, and I'm certainly not suggesting they will, but I think we got to ensure that we get some momentum, because winning in this conference on the road is so damn hard, and beating Alabama is going to be hard too. So I think you got to get Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All right. How about Tennessee, Shane?
I love these cousins fighting over here. Like,
how about Tennessee, Shane? Over under 8.5. The game the Vols need to guarantee they go 9-3.
9-3. I'm going to go. Man, why do we keep talking about Oklahoma? Oklahoma's just got a lot of them swing ones now. So November 1st, I think you got to beat the Sooners. And, because I'm a little worried about the Syracuse game, just, you know, breaking in so many new pieces. Right. So you just kind of, I'm not saying they lose that game, but I'm just worried about that one. I look at Georgia, I look at Bama, you know, no way in hell we lose to Florida. So I'm going to say Oklahoma, and I probably should pick the Gators.
Yeah, I was thinking Gators. You would for sure giving all your smack talk for the Gators, but I'll agree with you on this one. I think it is Oklahoma because Tennessee never wins in Gainesville. All right, how about Texas, Shane? Mighty Texas. Over-under's 9.5. Game the Longhorns got to get to 10. I know right where you're going. That's why I'm laughing.
I'm not going to say it. So give me on the road, Florida Gators, October 4th. That's an intriguing matchup right after the bye and a dangerous place to play. So you didn't play DJ last year. Hopefully you get to play him this season.
Yeah.
That may be the game that kind of derails that Arch Manning hype, you know, especially if they lose, not saying they're going to an Ohio State, you know, being 5 weeks in and potentially having two losses, that would be devastating for those Longhorn fans.
Right. The answer, Shane, Oklahoma, come on. They had to beat Oklahoma, I think, to get to 10 just because of at Ohio State, at Georgia. I think Oklahoma, that rivalry. I have a ton of respect for Florida, but I don't care where that game's played. Florida's not getting up for this game to the level Oklahoma will.
Yeah, yeah.
How about A&M, Shane? 7.5's over-under. Game the Aggies got to get to 8-4. Oh, they don't want to be 8-4, but that's, you know, that's the over-under here.
Oh, that's a good one. Brother, a lot of landmines out here, and it's just something about that South Carolina matchup. I feel like it's going to be very important, especially toward the end of the season, because, you know, they had that success last year out of the gate. If they do it again, mm-hmm. you don't want to lose any of that momentum. So November 15th, South Carolina, got them at home. This is a game they got to get.
Yep, I agree 100%. And then last, Vanderbilt, Shane, over under 4.5.
Yeah.
Game the Commodores got to get to 5.
This one's not in conference, but Virginia Tech. They got them last year, and that's when kind of the hot train started picking up. But you lose it week two if you lose to them. And it is on the road. It's a tough place to play. I guess you could throw Georgia State in there as well. But, yeah, any game in September, let's just say that.
Yeah.
Georgia State. Why do we keep scheduling these guys? You know, it's crazy.
Ole Miss scheduled them too, those crazy bastards. So, yeah, how about give me Kentucky, Shane. Give me Kentucky because otherwise I think we're going to win all our non-conference. And we know that they own Hugh Freeze and Auburn, so they're going to win that game for sure. And then Trey, Shane, he's got food questions here.
Yes.
Rapid fire here.
Okay.
I missed 200 comments. Apologies. I was looking at the schedules. White or yellow queso cheese dip?
Oh, white queso. Yeah.
What is this yellow? Who's
like
eating
Velveeta?
Yellow?
Jeez. I haven't had Velveeta since the third grade.
Okay. How about guacamole or salsa?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I love guacamole, but a good salsa can't go wrong with. So give me salsa.
Can't go wrong with a good guacamole, too.
I'm not a chunky salsa either. I've had the fancy ones where they make it at your table. That was great. But at the end of the day, you can't beat your favorite Mexican restaurant with a bucket of chips and some hot salsa, you know? I could make a meal out of it. I do make a meal. That's why the price keeps going up at old El Chorito's when I go over there.
You and all these crazy cousins. The answer is guacamole. Come on. How about steak or chicken fajitas? I think he's driving us to go eat, Cousin Trey is.
I like his food selection so far. Yeah, here's the deal. Honestly, I feel like you get better value with the chicken because the steak's usually not steak. I don't know what, you know, it's like chuck roast or something at some of these places. So if I'm making it at the house, give me a good quality steak fajita. But, you know, if I'm out and about, give me the chicken because it does sponge up. It feels like a little bit more of that flavor.
I gotta go steak on that one. Chimichanga or burrito?
Give me the chimichanga, man.
Ooh.
And we're splitting hairs. I ain't sending any one of them back because of my table. You know, like if they made a mistake and brought the burrito, I'd be like, you know what? I was feeling burrito. But yeah, I feel like burritos are kind of hit and miss sometimes though, because it's more ingredients. Like I don't want to get into this burrito and find out they put corn in it because corn should not be in a burrito, you know, but chimichanga, you kind of know what you're getting into. So, yeah, that's the one I'll take.
There's a place down the street, Shane. Shout out Nectar Cantina.
Yeah.
What they're doing this new thing with a, they bring you a burrito.
Yeah.
And you can order it with a cheese blanket. Ooh. They smother it in cheese and then they heat the cheese on both sides real quick so that it, you know, not too much, but just enough to where it stays.
Yeah.
Buddy, I hope that catches on.
You know what? It's so funny because growing up, I never was a big burrito guy, but when I walked into a Moe's, you ever ate at a Moe's before?
Oh yeah. There used to be one on Tennessee campus.
Yeah. That's the first time I ever had one was over at UT, and I was blown away by how good this burrito was. And I got to see what they put in it, you know? So that was a big one. Cause a burrito is like a present. And sometimes you love the present. Sometimes, you know, it sucks. So I was pumped up because I knew exactly what in this, and I was like, man, this business will never fail. And then all these other ones got involved and then they started shortchanging us on the products they're putting in it, you know?
Yep. All right. Frozen or iced margarita?
Frozen or iced margarita?
You're not much probably, of a margarita guy,
I'm
are
not
you?
A big margarita guy, so I'd probably go ice because I'm not big in the frozen drinks.
What do you get at this Mexican place? Did you just get cervezas or what's going
beer.
On?
Yeah, I mean, they got beer everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, but they got margaritas at Mexican place too.
Yeah, I just sometimes margaritas hit differently too. You know, I know how many silver bullets I can take. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many margaritas they can take because somebody may have got a little crazy. May have dropped a little too much in there.
Okay.
Well, true story, Gatlinburg. Uh-huh. Short story. We were in Gatlinburg, and there was this place we ate at, local borough, and real cool place, but they had this huge margarita came to the table. And, man, I don't know who put it together, but they need a raise. And so I'm drinking, and I'm about two or three in, you know, and all of a sudden – I started feeling it. My wife, she grabbed a hold of me. And she says, I will not take care of you. And I was like, all right, cast water.
all right. The last one, Choco Taco. You know what that is, right?
No. No. What's that?
Oh, you don't know.
You say Choco? So yeah. Like a chocolate taco?
Choco Taco. I'm looking it up here. I'm going to share the screen. I'm surprised. I'm quite surprised, Shane, that you don't know.
It's a little about late Cinco de Mayo. Did you send this thing out on the 5th? What's going on?
No. So you see it on the screen there? It's like it's like an ice cream in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a taco shell and they put
never
chocolate.
Never had one, but I know exactly what it tastes like.
Okay. And then here's the other one for Trey. He says, or this Sopala. It's kind of like a Mexican, it's got, well, you can't eat cinnamon, but you eat it anyway. It's like cinnamony glaze. Like, you can put chocolate on it.
Yeah. No, I probably shouldn't mess with that one. I would go, but it's like a, is it like a churro?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of like a churro. Mm-hmm. Churros are good. Again, very dangerous. I shouldn't be having them, but I would probably go, I don't know.
Choco Taco?
It looks messy, though. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing. It's like, I wouldn't do that at a restaurant. Now, if I'm at the house, yeah, you know, when in Rome. But
Stephen Up says, get Shane Yip.
Oh, man. I'd probably go that one. If it's similar to a churro, I'd probably go that route.
Yep.
Just face.
And yeah. Pop made me jealous here. He's talking about Terry Black's in Austin.
Yeah, Terry Black's is good. I've got a cup back here somewhere. No barbecue left over.
All right, Shane. So, hey, that's all the questions we got. Anything else before we hop off the line?
No. Again, cousins, appreciate you hanging out. And welcome all the new family members. Welcome to our crazy family. We love having you. Have those notifications on because we got some pretty cool stuff coming out this week and weekend. And you'll be the first ones to hear about it. Some cool interviews. And I think Mike's got some surprises for us next week that you're going to really love. So look for it. I know it's the off season, but by God, we find all kinds of great content to get to, and we couldn't do it without you. So please give us the thumbs up, hit that subscribe button. It means the world to us.
Absolutely. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one, Shane. That's all we got. Stay locked in on the channel. More coming. We appreciate each and every one of you. See ya, cousins. Butchered that.
I don't know what to do with my hands. See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.